And I want us to look tonight in John chapter 7 and verse 46. The Bible said the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." Never a man spake like this man. Tonight, if God will help me, I want to preach on that subject, on this man. On this man is my subject tonight. You can be seated while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the wonderful privilege, God, you've given us to be here under the tabernacle tonight, once again to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we can leave right now. Said it's been good to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord God, for you've touched the singers. Where there's been liberty, where there's been power, and where there's been unction tonight upon the service. I pray, Father, now, God, as we open up the Word of God, that you'd speak to my heart and speak to these lips of clay. Lord, without you, I'm nothing, Lord. I pray that flesh and self will get out of the way, mortify, crucify any desire to exalt self. But I pray the Lord Jesus might receive maximum praise and glory and honor in his good name. And Father, I pray, lead us and guide us and help us, God. Give us fresh oil. And I pray, God, that you'll receive all praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for thy sake we pray, amen and amen. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about this man. It's not about denominations. It's not about programs. It's not about plans. It's not about personalities. But Christianity is about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said the Bible's a hymn book. It's about him. You'll find him in every page, every prophecy, and every promise in the Word of God. In the Word of God, he's called the Son of God. That speaks of his deity. He's called the Son of Man. That speaks of his humanity. He's called the Son of David. That speaks of his royalty. He's called my Son. This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That speaks of his intimacy with the Father. He's called Jesus. That speaks of his destiny. For the Bible said he came to save his people from their sins. And tonight, by the grace of God, I want to say a few things about this man. Tonight, I want to say this man can take a drunk and make a daddy out of him. This man can take a harlot and make a homemaker out of her. This man can take something that's crooked and make it straight. This man can take something that's dead and make it alive. And my beloved, in this hour, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." I know that's talking about the cross, but I believe it's talking about preaching too. If we magnify him, we'll draw all men into him. I want to say about three or four things tonight about this man by the name of Jesus. I'm glad tonight for the name of Jesus. God has given him a name which is above every name, and at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. One day every knee is going to bow. I'm glad in April revival meeting in 1972 I bowed my knee to the Lord Jesus and acknowledged him as my Lord. Either by confession or by compulsion, every knee's gonna bow. Every black man, every Indian, Lord, every white man, every man will bow his knee and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm glad I can say tonight he's Lord of creation. He's Lord of revelation. He's Lord of salvation. He's Lord of consummation. You can't make him Lord. He's already Lord. God has highly exalted him and made him both Lord and Christ. I want to say first of all about this man. This man, first of all tonight, is the maker of all things. He is the maker of all things. In John 1 verse 3, the Bible said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1 and verse 16, all things were made by him, whether they be in heaven or earth, thrones, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. This universe did not begin with a big bang. It's going to end with a big bang. Evolution is the lie of the devil for the minds of unbelieving man. But I say to you, Jesus Christ, he is the primary cause. He's the instrumental cause. He's the final cause of this creation. He is the one that planned it. He is the one that produced it. And he is the one, my friend, that has a program for this creation. May I say to you tonight, he stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere and stepped on the platform of nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. He stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere because he had nowhere to come from. He stepped on the platform of nothing because he had nothing to stand on. He took the hammer of his will and struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and he got the sparks in between his fingertips, and he bedecked the universe with his stars. He is the creator of all things. Simon Peter says he is the faithful creator. I don't care how bad things may get tonight. No matter how the economy may be, God will take care of you because he is the faithful creator. God will make a way when there is no way. He's still God. He's still the creator, and he's still running the business. I say, as the maker of all things, he made the stars. The Bible says in Genesis 1:15, five words, Brother Frank, the Bible said he made the stars also. Scientists tell us that there's more stars than there are the grains of sand on all the beaches. And the Bible said he calls them all by name. He knows every one of them by name. He knows you tonight. He knows you by name. He said, I know my sheep and I know them. And the one that's the maker of the stars, the Bible says that he is the one that heals the broken in heart. You may be broken in heart tonight, but God knows he's able to heal the broken in heart. Now listen, my friend, the stars. I think about the nearest star. The nearest star would take 4.5 light years just to get to the nearest star. And they say a light year is determined by how fast light goes in 1.5 million years at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. And the nearest star, it would take 4.5 years to get to the nearest star traveling by light. Our galaxy called the Milky Way would take 100,000 light years just to get to the diameter. That's the God you and I serve tonight. He is the maker of the stars. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. David was out keeping the sheep, and he looked at the stars, and he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou dost visit is him. When he saw the stars, hallelujah, he is the maker of the stars tonight. They're orbiting just like he says. The stars may say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm tired. He says, keep on burning. The sun says, Lord, I'm tired, I'm tired. But God says, keep on burning, because he is the maker of the stars. I say tonight, he's the maker of our salvation. The Bible says in Jonah 2 and verse number 9 that salvation is of the Lord. I'm a Baptist tonight, and I'm not ashamed of it, but Baptists are not the makers of salvation, and Pentecostals and Presbyterians, but God is the maker of salvation. The Bible said salvation is of the Lord. We just happen to get in on it. Salvation's of the Lord in origination, salvation's of the Lord in provision, and salvation's of the Lord in consummation. Hey, my friend, listen, I tell you, if God started out with 100 sheep, he's going to end up with 100 sheep. Not one of them will be lost. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to hold on and hold out, because he is the maker of my salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I have not seen, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. Now, brother, we talk about that at funerals, but that's talking about our salvation. Man could have never cooked it up. Man could have never thought it up. Our great salvation, let it begin in the heart of the Lord Jesus, how that God would take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it whiter than snow. How that God could take his son Jesus to come to this world to die for you and for me. God's not looking for a church membership. He's looking for a birth certificate. He says you must be born again. You can't be saved by the wafer on the tongue. Somebody said amen. You can't be saved by water. You can't save by works. Or you cannot be saved by wonders. That's all they talk about on television. Wonders. Wonders won't save you. There's only one way. That's the Lord Jesus. He's the maker of all things. He's the maker of the stars. And he's the maker of our salvation, and he's the maker of our security. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I don't have to hold on, I don't have to hold out, but thank God I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus. I could swing out over hell on a cornstalk singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon said, if there is one saint of God that ended up in hell with a marks of the blood on them, all heaven would come to the rescue. Oh, I'm glad tonight we're secure. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our life is hid with Christ and God. The devil can't get to us. If the devil could get to us, he'd be a saved devil. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. God said to Noah, I want you to come in the ark. He didn't say let go in the ark. He said, I want you to come into the ark. Why? Because God was already there. And the Bible said God shut the door and it was sealed. It was sealed by that pitch. And that word pitch is the same word for atonement. It's the same word for redemption. We're in the ark. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you let the lightning flash and you let the thunder roll. Hallelujah. And I'm sure the winds and the storm came against the ark and the judgment beat against the ark, but they were safe inside the ark. And I want to tell you, the lightning may flash and the thunder may roll, but hallelujah, I'm glad, thank God, we're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The Bible said we're sealed. Not the Holy Ghost does the sealing, He is the seal. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost into the day of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can say tonight that He's the maker of all things. I say to you tonight, He does all things well, and I bless His name that He's the maker of all things. Number two, I want to say that this man is the mediator between God and man. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not Mary. It's not, listen, it's not the Pope. Lord, listen, my friend, hey, how in the world is some man who dresses like his mother and calls himself father and turns his collar around backwards, don't do anything like that right now? Listen to me. There's only one mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus. Job said, I wish there was a daysman that would put his hand on me and put his hand on God. But I want you to know that Job got his prayer answered, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a mediator. We've got a go-between. There is a bridge, and that is the Lord Jesus. I say, as the mediator between God and man, He reconciled us to the sovereign. Colossians 1:21, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Man declared war on God. Man went away from God. Man turned his back on God. God turned His back on man. But there came a great peacemaker. The greatest peace mission that's ever been is the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, He brought peace. When He lived, He taught peace. And when He died on the cross, He purchased our peace. Heaven made peace through the blood of the cross. When I talk about peace tonight, I'm talking about the fact of peace. I do know we have that feeling, but even if we don't have that feeling, sometimes if we're saved, there's still the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He reconciled us. Hallelujah tonight. Glory to God. Bless His name. And Jesus put His hand on God, and Jesus put His hand on man. I'll tell this story again. There was a boy that was so mean and so bad, he caused his mother to get sick because he was so mean by the way he was living. And the father said, son, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave here. You can't live like this under my roof. You're going to have to leave. And that boy went away, and they did not find out where he was. And that mama got sick, and she told her husband, said, you find that boy. He said, I'm not going to do it. The reason you're sick because the way he's lived, and you're sick because of what he's done, I'm not going to do it. She said, go find that boy. And so somehow he found that son. He came home, and she was in the bed, on the sick bed, on the death bed. On this side was the son. On this side was the dad. Oh, they couldn't even hardly look at each other because of what had happened. And as that mother drew her dying breath, she took the hand of that boy, and she took the hand of that dad, and she brought him down upon her breast, and they were reconciled, and they hugged over the body of his dying mother. I'm glad 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. Hallelujah. God, I'm glad in a place. I have a place called Calvary. I'm glad Jesus took the hand of God. This man has reconciled us. We have been made one in God. There's no more war. There's no more strife. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When times trouble me and I don't feel that peace, I'm glad the fact still stands because we have been reconciled to God. This man receiveth sinners. Luke 15 and verse 2, the Bible said, this man receiveth sinners. This is what the Pharisees said about Jesus. They meant it as a criticism, but no, it was a compliment. I'm glad He does receive sinners. You and I would be in trouble tonight if Jesus did not receive sinners. Matter of fact, that's the only people He will receive. Jesus was born for sinners, lived for sinners, died for sinners, and heaven's the only place I know. You got to be a sinner to go to. The church is not a society of, I'm telling you, angels. I want to tell you a lot of do-goods. And we're just a bunch of sinners that's been saved by the grace of God. Ought to go to hell. Most of us were drunks and dopers and blasphemers and used the name of God in vain. Ought to have been in hell with a broke back begging for water. But I'm glad, thank God, Jesus received sinners. I'm glad, Jesus, thank God. He said, I come not to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners to repentance. And I'm glad that he receives publicans and harlots and sinners. And the church ought to do the same thing. Ought to go after sinners, amen. I want to say, as the mediator between God and man, this man represents the saints. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got one on the right hand of God named Jesus who represents me and is my representative, is my high priest on the right hand of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, on the cross he attained and procured my salvation. But by his mediator work, friend, I'm saying to you, my friend, did you know that he keeps me saved? He keeps me saved. As long as Jesus is on the right hand of God praying for me as my intercessor, we're going to be saved for time and for eternity because he's praying for us and he's interceding for us. How would you like to get up one morning? You go up the stairs and in the room there, you hear somebody praying with the door closed. They're calling your name out and they're praying. Oh, they know what you're going through. They know what you're facing. They know every trial. They're calling your name out. Say, that's my preacher. No. What if it was Jesus in the next room praying for what you're going through? Well, friend, he may not be in the next room, but he is in heaven. He said, Simon, I prayed for thee. Simon, I know what you're going through. I know, and I'm praying for thee that thy faith fail not. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord for this man. I'm glad he's the mediator. He's the go-between. Others, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus our Lord. I know it's not popular. I know we have a society of pluralism. I know they say that Buddha's a savior. I know they say Muhammad's a savior, but the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. Jesus is not a way, he is the way. He's not a truth, he is the truth. He's not a life, he's the life. Without him there is no knowing, without him there is no going, and without him there is no living. Bless his name. This man, hallelujah, this man's the mediator between God and man. I say tonight, this man also is the means of our supply. We knew in this room tonight what our needs were. I know we still live good as Americans. We all got needs tonight. We're a bundle of needs. We're a hierarchy of needs. God is concerned about your needs tonight. This man will supply your needs tonight. I don't know what your needs are. Hey, but he's able to supply every need you've got. Bless his name. Hey, I may not know, but there's one that does know. He knows everything about you. He knows your uprising. He knows your down sitting. He knows your thoughts afar off. Hey, I know we're not charismatic. Some folks think that we're at a tent meeting over here handing out prayer calls and having a prayer line. This is no Benny Hinn meeting. But I say to you tonight, God's concerned about your body. And God, if it be his will, God can touch you. He's above cancer. He's above diabetes. He's above all that. I say God's able to lay his nail-scarred hand upon you. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And I tell you what, my friend, before we ever go to the doctor, we ought to go to Dr. Jesus and ask God to touch us. He's concerned about your material needs. He knows what things you have need of. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the sparrows. They don't toil or spin. I want to tell you, God will take care of you. If God will take care of the birds, if God will take care of the lilies of the field, God will take care of you. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that will see to it. He'll put the angels on half ration to take care of us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will make a way. God will meet your emotional needs. I tell you, with sometimes trouble don't have peace. Some of you have no job security at all. You could go and work in the morning, they say your job's gone. Given your life, I've seen it happen in the church. Folks have given life and given time, say your job's through, you're gone. And you'd be troubled about that. You might be troubled over a wayward son. You may be troubled over a wayward daughter. You may be troubled tonight, my friend, because of a bad doctor's report. But the Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I'm saying God can give you peace in the midst of the storm. I'm saying let the lightning flash and the thunder roll. I'm telling you God can give you that peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He has monopoly on it. I don't have a monopoly on peace, but he does tonight. And God's able to meet your need. God's able to meet your spiritual need, whether it be cleansing, whether it be forgiveness. I'm glad God's not like a lot of Baptists. You let somebody mess up, you let somebody make a mistake, I want to tell you, we'll kick them out. We'll remind them of it to the day they die. Oh, listen, I'm glad. Glory to God tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's not like Baptists tonight. There's mercy with the Lord. He said, I'll cast your sins in the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's moved our transgressions from. What are your needs tonight? Make your needs known to the Lord. Amen. If you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Our children getting ready to go back to school. We got to get all that stuff ready. We got to get them all that the stuff they need, all their supplies. Our kids got three kids in private school. It's expensive, but it's worth it. Amen. And I want to tell you, listen, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, we try to give the best for our children. But we have an evil nature. If we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He'll put the angels on half rations to take care of you. I'm telling you, God will make a way. Hallelujah. As Abraham was going up that side of the mountain, I believe that goat was coming up the other, that ram was on the other side of the mountain. God had already saw to it. God had already made a way. God's not panicking. God's not worrying. God's not, listen, he's not strolling up and down heaven. He's in control. He's sovereign. He owns it all. I'm glad, praise God, Washington's not running things, but God is. Amen. This man is the means of our supply. I want to go further. This man is the master of the sea. The Bible said, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and waters that they obey his voice. Storms will come in the Christian life. If you're in a storm, or you just come out of one, or you're about to go into a storm. But I want to say tonight, friend, God has his way in the storm. All things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And to them who are called according to his purpose. It didn't say how we see or understand, but we know intuitively, we know by the Bible, that all things work together for good. May I say the storm was in his plans. Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. He told those disciples to get into the boat and pass to the other side. He knew the lightning was coming. He knew the lightning was going to flash and the winds were going to blow. It didn't take God by surprise. And the storm that you're in tonight did not take God by surprise. He knows exactly what's going on. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Amen. You know, the scariest thing in the world, the scariest thing in the world is a phone call in the middle of the night. There's something about a phone ringing in the middle of the night. It'll change your world. Find out somebody's got in trouble. Find out somebody's died. And you find yourself in a Euroclydon. You find yourself, the south winds may have blew softly, but now you find yourself in a storm. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, friend, the storms are in his plan. It's all about it. He's sovereign. He has a will. He has a way. He makes no mistakes. The storm was in his prayers. The Lord Jesus went up on the mountain and prayed. The whole time they were rowing and scared, Jesus is praying for them on the mountain. He's praying for you while the storms are going on. He's praying, God, I want you to teach them those truths that I'm trying to teach them. Lord, I want you to give them character and growth and maturity. Hey, as long as it's smooth sailing, you'll never grow. As long as things go good, you're not going to be the Christian you ought to be. I don't like them either, but God's going to send storms in your life so that you can grow and mature. We ought to count it all joy when we fall in the diamond's temptations. The storm was in his path. The darkest at the fourth watch, Jesus. I don't care what Dr. Bottle Stopper said. He came walking on the water. He walked on the water as though it was pavement. Why did Jesus walk on the water? He does everything with purpose. That's the very thing that threatened them. That's the very thing that was going to destroy them. That's the very same thing that's going to wreck them. The very same thing you think is going to wreck you and ruin you. Jesus is master of the sea. Whenever the waves are over your head, thank God they're under his feet. I tell you, he has things in control. He wants you to know that what you think is going to destroy you, I'm in sovereign over it, I'm control over it, and I will see you through. The storms of life. In Egyptian hieroglyphics, for footprints on a wave was mean sovereign. Whatever that may mean, but I want to tell you, Jesus was showing those disciples. He was preparing them for storms that was going to come in the book of Acts. Later on, every one of them died and persecuted, maybe except John, tradition says. He was trying to prepare them and show them and give them a lesson about storms of life, that he'd be in control over it, that he'd see it through. Don't get weary in the storm. I want to tell you, it shall come to pass. He's able to make the storm a calm. He can listen. He can bring the calm. He can make the winds and waves obey his voice. Amen. I want to say tonight, last of all, this man, are you listening? If you're listening, say amen. Amen. This man is a marvelous Savior who will come again. Yeah. I didn't see him go up, but I believe I'm going to see him come down. Yeah. Acts 1 and verse 11, this same Jesus. Not the Jesus of the liberals. Yeah. Not the Jesus of the New Agers. Not the Jesus of the modernists and humanists. But this same Jesus, the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. The same Jesus that opened up deaf ears and blind eyes. The same Jesus that called fishermen from their net. The same Jesus that saved harlots and publicans. It's the same Jesus that walked out on the Mount of Olives, stepped up on a cloud, went back to heaven where every day is a Sabbath, every month's a May. And bless God, that same Jesus is a Jesus that's coming again. If there's anybody that ought to be living on the tiptoes of expectancy, it ought to be us, the church of God in these days, because Jesus is coming again. If these are not the last days, you tell me what the last days are. We're perilous times. We're talking about it down the road. I want to tell you, Brother Frank, one of the reasons I love to come here is because I passed by Sandy Creek. Brother, listen, right up here above your church, the greatest revival since Pentecost took place. All separatists with the mother and grandmother, every preacher ought to go up there and pray over Shubal Stearns. George Whitfield came to Carolina and was rejected. He said, God send somebody to the wilderness of Carolina as he was preaching in Boston Commons. And there was a young man there by the name of Shubal Stearns got saved under the ministry of George Whitfield. And come down here, first of all, to Virginia. Stop down here at Sandy Creek. There were some believers that asked him to come. And I want to tell you, it started with just his family, but it grew to 600 people. 600. And it was the greatest revival. All independent churches. The mother, the grandmother of separatist churches came out of that revival at Sandy Creek. But I want to tell you, we're in apostasy now. Can't hardly get anybody back on Sunday night. Can't hardly get anybody on Wednesday prayer meeting. I want to tell you what, people that say they were Christians deny the virgin birth of blood atonement. Hey, there's a great falling away in these days. Jesus is coming. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 8, he said, when I come, will I find faith on earth? He said, will I even find faith? That word means there's going to be a departure from the truth, apostasy. When Jesus comes, our laziness is going to be revealed. We're just old plain lazy, come on. We do what we want to do. People go to yard sales, go to Walmart, won't knock on a door, won't pass out a tract. I want to tell you, we do what we want to do. Get out and do their hobbies and sports and all that. Work, work, I mean, listen, work to the bone. But lazy, when it comes to the work of the Lord Jesus. Laziness will be removed. Listen, we wish we'd have done more for Jesus when we stand at the judgment when Jesus comes. Our laziness. Jesus said, occupy till I come. That word occupy means to do business. Do business till I come. Our losses will be regretted. We're going to be judged for our works, not our salvation, praise God. But our works. Oh, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Some of us is going to be saved as by fire. Like that rich man down in Louisiana, he lost his whole mansion, lost everything. He had to sit out in front of his mansion, watch it burn. He's in his rocking chair. He lost it all. That's the way a lot of believers are. Lose it all. There's a soul winner's crown. There's a mark. There's an incorruptible. There's a pastor's crown. All I want to tell you, we have crowns and we can cast them at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And I want to tell you something else about this man when he comes again. Oh, listen. When this man comes, oh, the lost to be revealed. My friend, listen. When Jesus comes, he's going to take the saved with him. And I believe somewhere the Antichrist is living. And the church, like a restrainer, like a divine dam, is holding him back. They may not appreciate the church right now, but you let the church be gone, that Antichrist and all the forces of hell which we're holding back, which we're restraining is coming on. Amen. Never been a generation, never been a time where everything's set up for the Antichrist, mark of the beast. I mean, it could be anything in technology they got today. We better get our loved ones in. Quit playing church. Get busy for the Master. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Hey, it'll be worth it all when we see the Lord Jesus. Hey, one day I'll see Him face to face. And you may not get the credit here, but we'll get it on the other side. Like that missionary come home been in Africa, Brother White, for many, many years. It's back before they traveled by plane. They traveled on boat. I remember Brother Sexton used to tell me when they went to the Holy Land, they had to go on boat. And old Roosevelt had been in Africa hunting. And when he got to New York, there's all that fanfare. And everybody was waiting for Roosevelt. Here's this missionary and his wife. Not one person was there to meet him. He got in his motel that night, kind of had the mully grubs, feeling sorry for himself. And his wife said, honey, don't worry about it. We're not home yet. Thank God we're not home yet, children. It'll be worth it all. Hey, it doesn't matter what the brethren say. It don't matter what the pastor say. It don't matter what that community says. What matters is what Jesus has to say about you. Hallelujah. Let's stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want everybody right now to stand to your feet with me. Let's lift our hands to heaven and say, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you one more time for God's goodness and God's mercy. And thank God for this man. Hey, we are what we are because of this man. I'm glad God became a man and we're saved and on our way to heaven because of this man. Brother Jimmy, come over here and sing "It Is Well" with my soul. Can I, Pastor? If you got, how many of you got a need tonight? I want everybody that when after Jimmy sings, as he sings, we want to have special prayer for those of you that's got a need tonight. For those of you tonight that's got a lost loved one, I want you to come tonight. For those of you that have any doubt at all about your salvation, I want you to come tonight. Brother Thacker, Brother Billy Kelly was in camp meeting in Alamance, and one night he's over there crying. Brother Joe said, what's wrong, Brother Billy? He said, when I die, he said, I want Brother Crutchfield to sing in my funeral. Brother Jimmy sung in Brother Kelly's funeral. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. Woo!